Mr. Chairman, there are 29 items on the Budget Finance Consent Agenda. Please drop car 2-16, 2-19, and 2-20, and there are no speakers.
Okay, I just want to make a comment on 2-5. Is there anyone that anyone else on the board wants to hold? So can we move the balance?
To move, I move the balance.
All right.
Second.
Okay. Please vote. The clerk sent me a note. She'd like to make a comment on the Budget and Finance. I'm sorry, Pam.
Yes, I just wanted to do this before you vote. So it's more to inform you. I'm not really looking for a response, so I'd like to just read this so it's clear. I began reviewing the use of commissioners' discretionary funds.
If you know the history of the issue around the discretionary fund use, then you immediately recognize, oh, we're about to depart from happy time here. So they have a boring meeting. It was a quick meeting. It was 40 minutes long. And then right toward the end, Pam says, you know, since we had kind of a light meeting going so far, I thought I would inject an observation and an announcement. And the observation is that money that comes from taxes that goes into the general fund is supposed to go towards a public purpose. And when you use that money, $50,000 per year per commissioner, to fund athletic teams or food giveaways or, you know, tournaments or galas or backpacks or birthday parties or Juneteenth, I'm literally reading to you some of the descriptions. She says, I don't know about that.
Also, there is a specific prohibition in Article 1 of the Florida Constitution preventing revenue from being taken from the public treasury to aid any church or religious denomination. If the commissioners want to support those organizations, a personal contribution is more appropriate.
So instead of using taxpayer money to support these things that are good things, you should use your money to support these things. The taxpayers don't pay property taxes so that you can give athletic uniforms to the basketball team. It's a good thing. Nobody disputes that. But that's not what the taxpayer money is for, or at least maybe that's not what it's for. And if it's to go for an event that's being put on by a church, as one of the requests was that specifically came up on this agenda, she says, yeah, you definitely can't do that. That's a for sure no. So she made an announcement that none of them were expecting to hear.
I will be holding discretionary funding request until my review and opinion is completed.
Oh, man. There's got to be a clear public purpose and a reasonable expectation of success in that purpose in the way you give the money. It has to have all of that, so you should think really hard about making these requests. And this has been a long time coming, she says. It was especially made aware to her with the churches, or a church in this particular case, being on the list of recipients. And so Mike Kohler asks,
Madam Clerk, I guess what I'm saying, if there was something that said it was in public interest, would you still hold the discretionary fund?
If you make it clear as to what that public interest is, that is going to be most helpful.
Madam Attorney, can you help guide? I know we've
Yeah, I mean, because what makes it, yeah. What I mean, we law enforcement fund, we do that. What makes it eligible and legal? And I mean, because we've done this for 10 years, and so now
exactly.
We're saying that we can't do it.
Well, I didn't say that. I said I'm going to hold the expenditures until I finish my review. And you're right, LET funds is similar, and that is also on my list to review.
Law enforcement trust fund, the sheriff's drug seizure money that then the county, he tells the county what they want to use it for, and then the county approves it. She says that's going to be next on the list to look at, but for now we're looking at the discretionary money. And if you're not familiar, again, it's $50,000 a year, and they give to all kinds of things in small chunks, typically. $1,000 here, $1,500 there to this team or that event or that food giveaway or whatever, many of which are very nice things. But the historic concern about the discretionary funds by the county commissioners, and the city council does something on a smaller scale, okay? But the concern are things like, well, A, is it a public purpose? Does it violate the prohibition against using for specifically religious purposes? But also, does it create a kind of environment that's ripe for corruption? Does it create a personal largesse or a commissioner benevolence fund that now commissioner gets to feel like the big man or woman on campus who's doing all these kind things for people with the money the taxpayers give them. Because that's how it functions a lot of times. When you listen to the conversations, oh, I want to give $1,500 to this event. And I'm not naming any recipients because then one's going to get singled out. But, you know, I want to give $1,500 to this event. And then Commissioner 2 says, well, I'll put in $500. And somebody else says, how about $750? And then Commissioner 1's like, oh, Commissioner 2, only $500? You know, like they kind of – it's this very self-congratulatory feeling of having done a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing when you're doing with somebody else's money taken essentially at the threat of jail or gone. You know, like it's taxes. And so she's saying not that they can't spend money. We also spend bigger money on outside agencies, you know, local organizations that do things in the community. And the theory there generally is if we give money to this agency, it's actually going to save us money because we won't have to spend on the remediation on the back end. It's kind of like if you can educate kids, then you won't have to spend money on jails. If you can fix a problem here, you won't have to be fixing it there. So there's a lot to be talked about. And all Pam is saying is, I'm pausing. I'm pausing because I don't know. And what she's not saying, what I'm saying is there is a historic concern around these funds because if you're the recipient of them, are you likely to get up in public and criticize the county commissioners? Are you likely to donate to their opponents? Or are you more worried that if they see that, then they'll cut off your funding in the future if they win re-election? You know, that kind of stuff. So these are all fair concerns. And one position you can take is that the commissioners shouldn't be doing any of this. Another position you can take is that they should be doing it with more strict controls under DOGE, under state DOGE, under generally trying to make sure that we're financially doing the best we can with the money. And another position you could take is everything they've been doing is fine. We'll see how it shakes out. More on this in a second because, as you might suspect, challenging the Commissioner Benevolence Fund's legitimacy didn't go well with the commissioners in the meeting. Back to that in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still dealing with the accident that happened at the intersection of Fairfield and North Pace Boulevard. Still dealing with roadblock and delays in all directions. So my advice, definitely avoid that area. Also, 98 eastbound. And just east of Navarre Beach Bridge is starting to see a slowdown, maybe a 7 to 9 minute delay there. And also, if you're going from Pine Forest to Highway 29 via I-10 eastbound, you're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. But other than that, we are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're just tuning in, Pam Childers, the clerk and comptroller of Escambia County, told the county commission that she is pausing all disbursements through the discretionary fund that they each have $50,000 a year to spend kind of how they want with permission from the other commissioners, saying that I'm not sure that these are all public purposes and we need to make sure that we get all of our ducks in a row and make sure that we're not violating the law or the statute can't be come back on. And Lumen May says...
Madam Clerk, I mean, we're going to respect you write the checks, but I mean, it's certainly alarming and disappointing that we've done it for 10 years. And at this point now, we're beginning to do a review in which we've helped multiple organizations, which I'm not a lawyer, that benefits the good of the community. And so at this point, you know, I don't do a lot of them, so it really doesn't matter to me.
Okay, I mean, that's so good. I'd like to review it, and I'd like your input.
I mean, yeah. He spends his money, and there's a lot on the Lumen May list, so he spends them like everybody else spends them. It's kind of funny because he says it's alarming that we've been doing this all this time if it's wrong, but it's always for a good thing, which is kind of a justifying the thing you're worried about. And then saying, well, I don't really do it all that much, but you do. Like, he's on all different sides of this issue, which I understand. He did not expect this announcement, and it's flustering.
I'd love for you to show us how we can rather than how we can't, and how can we do it to continue to help.
And there are concrete public purpose that you can state. You're trying to reach a certain mission. You can't just say it's public purpose and voila, it is. You have to state what it is, and I think we need to get in a better habit of doing that. I've discussed with the county attorney during different times about a form, about a written form.
So you've talked to the county attorney because this is the first I've heard of this.
Well, I haven't really needed to talk to you about it, and I think Allison's shaking her head.
I know it's the first time you heard of it. Didn't really need to come to you for this. Oh, no.
Yes, because we've had these
conversations. Okay, and that's fine. I just hadn't heard of it.
Because
for the constituents, it's important.
There's movement on the federal level, on the state level, for us to really look at our expenditures and making sure that they meet a public purpose. And again, my awareness went up today with the churches being on there. I think that is an absolute no. As I sit here right now.
And I agree with you, ma'am, because I've never funded a church.
I don't think you have.
I mean, separating the church and state, I'm with you on that.
Okay.
So, again, where are we going to be? Where is she going to land? She says, look, if you see a good thing out there you want to help, write a personal check. Maybe not write it through the county. But she didn't stop the payments, except for the church ones. Looks like she may say no to those, period. But she's going to review it. So they're flustered. They're embarrassed. They, you know, worried that they might be doing something inappropriate. Of course, she has been signing the checks all along. So, you know, it's a her too kind of problem. But, you know, better to fix it going forward than to keep doing the same mistake because you've always done if it's a mistake. Mike Kohler.
Madam Attorney, can you please give us some guidance in a timely manner that says that we're in or out of regs? And so I don't like being embarrassed. And I feel like
if we're doing something wrong, I don't want to do it. I mean, what I want is a legal opinion. I don't care if it's politically expedient or not. Right. I want to know if it's legally right. And if it's not legally, then let's stop doing it.
I totally agree. That's why I'm bringing this up. I figured it was a quiet meeting. I thought it was something we could talk about. Alice and I have talked about this from time to time. I have mentioned it to Kohler, to Chairman Kohler. And I would like to follow through on this. I would like for us to look at.
So, again, Mike Kohler is trying to get an answer out of the county attorney, Allison Rogers, and Luman kind of keeps interjecting.
Madam Attorney, can you make a comment? Do you believe this, what the clerk's saying, is to be that we've been doing things in the wrong way?
No, I didn't say that.
It's hard to hear Pam's off mic at that moment. No, I didn't say that, okay?
Well, I'm not sure what we're doing here, but should we be doing it differently? Maybe that's the right question.
I mean, quite frankly, if we're doing it wrong, then let's stop. You know, we went through all that. I mean, I don't want to be in a public meeting saying that I did something. You know, even the appearance of impropriety is wrong. And I've been through enough of, you know, being accused of doing something that I had no knowledge of. And so I'm not going to take a responsibility for something I have no knowledge of. And so I've been told for 12 years that this is good. So tonight I hear that it may not be good. There's a pause on it. If it is, okay, let's pause.
Which is kind of the right answer, but okay. And always do keep in mind, there is background sort of friction, strong friction, between Pam Childers on the one hand and Stephen Barry and Luman May on the other hand, and previously Jeff Bergosh. Just to put it into context with, you know, the relationships, if you don't know them, there's been a lot of stuff, okay? I don't need to go into the details. But anyway, Luman May continuing.
Allison, what can you give us some guidance, legal guidance?
But there's another way in which we can do it. Yeah. There's always a way in which you can do what's good. And so I think that, you know,
there's not always a way you can do what you want to do with public money.
It's not like we're giving out millions of dollars.
It's $250,000 a year, and over the course of years, 12 years, 50 grand for you, it's a lot of money. It is millions when you add it all up.
It's not like we're giving out millions of dollars. I mean, it's a basketball team that can't go to the state championship. Is that a good? I mean, there's people that I don't know. I mean, but I can just tell you what, if I'm helping Washington basketball team go to the state championship because the school district doesn't give those kids any money, to me, that's a common good. You know, but I want to know the legal position, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we all do. And by the way, you know, it certainly is a good thing. Nobody's questioning whether buying the jerseys for a baseball or basketball team or, you know, funding a food giveaway or doing a gala activity that the community is going to involve in. Those are all good things. But whose money should pay for it? Should it be paid for with taxpayer money through the general fund, or should it be paid for with private money by out of your own pocket and all of the collateral issues that come with a commissioner being in a position to kind of be the big man on campus with the Commissioner Benevolence Fund and use that perhaps for political favors to reward supporters or just to, you know, if you're giving money out, then people are less likely to criticize you in public because maybe they don't receive the money anymore. I mean, again, all those concerns.
All right.
And Pam, I'm good with that. And listen, Pam brought it up. Is it not a common good to feed people? Is it not a common good to buy hamburgers and hot dogs for children in the inner city that don't have food to eat? when we're feeding homeless people, when we're giving out money. I mean, so, I mean, we got to define that. I mean, maybe that's not a common good, but I can just tell you, I mean, for the common benefit, the common purpose of making sure that Brownsville Assembly is feeding people, that has to be a common good for the community.
If you believe that is the county government's responsibility, then we will have a form and you will write that.
And that's, I think that's the obvious takeaway that's going to come out of this, is that the request for use of discretionary money, if that policy even remains in existence, is definitely going to be more rigorous. Here's my public purpose. Here's why I think it's going to accomplish that purpose and the justify the use of funds. Now, again, it may come back that everything is what we've been doing for a long time. It may come back that the discretionary fund goes away entirely, or maybe somewhere in between, a little bit more rigor on the controls. I don't know. Pam was just announcing that this is all on pause pending. But it was an entertaining conversation about an important topic, a really important topic. What's appropriate for public funds to be used, and how should those decisions be made? And are we running the risk of creating an environment where there's the appearance of favors or quid pro quo or corruption or anything like that? And those are all at play in this conversation. 725 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling to the intersection of West Fairfield and Pace Drive, just remember that that is still dealing with the accident there. So all four directions, all lanes are kind of slowed down. About an extra 10 to 15 minute delay there. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. You're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve. And of course, we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
And don't get me wrong, I love you. I'm glad to see you. But slow it down, man.
Do Good morning, 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're a company and you have to deal with employment benefits because you have employees, which is a good thing, you deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that, Torgerson Causey, they can help you. They've been helping us here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 4 years, and when we started working with them, what I discovered is we had more choices, better options, and much better answers to our questions, better customer service. They've been fantastic. So if what you're doing at your company works great, great. If you wonder whether it could work better, give them a call. No obligation for them to look over what you're doing. Or if you're having headaches or even me talking about this is giving you the eye twitches, they can help you with that. That's their goal. Their goal is to help you with the stuff that you don't love to do. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. David Wayne in the newsroom has a headline or two for us. David?
Well, at least 113 people now, they're saying, are dead after that roof collapse in the Dominican Republic. That includes two former Major League Baseball players and the singer in the band that was playing at the time.
Yeah, Octavio Dotel, who used to pitch for the Cardinals for a while, and a bunch of other teams as well, but horrible tragedy. Yeah, terrible, terrible thing to hear about.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's so-called reciprocal tariffs on imports are now in effect. It's 104% on products from China.
Prices are expected to rise as these new tariffs were launched beginning at the stroke of midnight last night. The U.S. government began collecting tariffs on roughly 90 countries. Top Trump officials say they've heard from 70 of them trying to negotiate new trade deals with the United States.
Fox's Lucas Thomas in China has put new 84% tariffs on American imports. An immigration judge in Louisiana tells the Trump administration to provide evidence by today against Mahmoud Khalil, the leader of Gaza war protests at Columbia University in New York.
The federal government plans to deport him, even though he's legally in the country. Once the government's evidence is submitted, Khalil's lawyers will review it by Thursday. The judge plans to decide for or against removal Friday.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is sunny this morning. We've got 53 degrees in Pensacola. The nominees appointed by Governor Ron DeSantis to the University of West Florida Board of Trustees undergo confirmation hearings before a Florida Senate committee tomorrow. Gates Garcia, Paul Bailey, and Chris Young are set to present their cases, while the board's controversial chairman, Scott Yenner, has not yet faced a hearing amidst backlash over past comments. The nominees have previously supported Yenner's chairmanship. The Senate committee hearing is scheduled tomorrow for 10 a.m. The effects of President Trump's tariffs are being felt all across the nation, including here in Northwest Florida.
I would say the one area that we're keeping an eye on is the military and the defense industry. There are a lot of private contractors who work at the base or with the base. So we're keeping an eye on that, and we'll let people know if there are job opportunities.
Greater Pensacola Chamber President Todd Thompson, and he says most businesses are currently in a wait-and-see pattern. One industry that will be feeling some effects is luxury retail and jewelers. A lot of distributors have now paused exports to the U.S. Local jeweler Barry Cole told Channel 3 that he's anticipating a shift to consumers purchasing more used items. Now, local Marine veteran Brent Chavnor is no longer facing theft charges. This is after state prosecutors dropped the case against him. Chavnor had been charged in October for allegedly stealing a computer from Walmart by returning a gutted gaming PC for a refund. He reported, though, that computer was incomplete when he purchased it, and that's why he returned it. Body cam footage from police revealed discussions in the case, and no conclusive evidence was found against Chavnor. He's since hired an attorney, and there's no word from the state attorney's office on why those charges were dropped. Officials say a death row inmate, Michael Tansey, has been executed. The 48-year-old died by lethal injection last night at the Florida State Prison in Rayford. Tansey was put to death for the 2000 kidnapping and murder of a Miami Herald reporter, Janet Acosta. It's the nation's 11th execution in 2025, the third for the year in Florida. Well, Metallica is now teaming up with the Red Cross for blood drives on their spring tour. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Charity Foundation all within my hands, is hosting drives at or near venues where they're performing. The first drive will run in April and at a concert in New York. Their Metallica is running a North American tour. They'll be visiting a dozen U.S. cities. That wraps up in late June. Well, Seminole County is going to stop putting fluoride in their drinking water. The county commission voting 4-1 yesterday to no longer add fluoride. They've been doing that now, for adding it for 35 years. This should affect about 40,000 customers in their area. The county is the largest provider in Central Florida to vote to stop adding fluoride to their water supply. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to report to you right now, but we're seeing delays if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay. Also, Avalon Boulevard headed southbound toward I-10. Expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And taking a look at our forecast today, it's beautiful right now. We've got 50 degrees on the dot here in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze and Milton, and some sunshine, looking for a high up to around 73 later this afternoon. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump's tariff went into effect at midnight last night, including an expected 104% tariff on China. Customs and Border Protection said it's prepared to begin collecting country-specific tariffs from 86 U.S. trade partners. U.S. markets sold off sharply yesterday afternoon, heading into the midnight tariff deadline. Former Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez says the U.S. and China are in a full-blown trade war. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is escalating his attacks on top Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro. Shares of Cal-Maine Foods, the largest U.S. egg producer, fell more than 4% once the company acknowledged it is being investigated by the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice. The company said it received notice of the investigation into egg prices last month, and it is cooperating with the investigation. Futures are sharply higher after China announced 84% retaliatory tariffs. Dow futures are down by more than 700 points. Yesterday, the Dow lost 320. That's Your Money Now.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Marcus Point Baptist Church encourages you to invite a friend to the community sunrise service inside Blue Wahoo Stadium. Reach out to your neighbors, coworkers, or even family members and show them an Easter tradition like never before. The Community Sunrise Service, Easter Sunday at 6 a.m. from Blue Wahoo Stadium. Visit our website at PensacolaChurch.org.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Think what Commissioner Mayer is alluding to. I mean, we can't be the Bank of Escambia where we fund everybody else's ideas. I mean, it has to be a shared, it has to be a shared equity in how we do it.
At the meeting last week, you had the, the county commission having committed the whole conversation about the Bay Center. And one of the points that came up was that, if the county is going to be spending the bulk of the money, it's all fine and good if the mayor wants to pay for a comprehensive plan, master plan for the region around the Bay Center. But as Stephen Berry made clear, Isabel, they are the ones who are going to make the ultimate decision. Lumen May saying similar things. Steve Stroberger saying similar things. I thought that was a little bit arrogant. It's sort of true, but also, maybe you don't have to say it out loud quite so much. But I think they're feeling about, the frustrations over OLF 8 and having a similar kind of problem there, being constrained by a master plan that somebody else provided, and they feel like they can't do what they want to do. Well, okay, but this is going to be a collaborative partnership. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. So, what was your takeaway from this meeting? It sounds like they're saying, yes, go ahead and do your little study, but in the end, if it doesn't tell us what we want to hear, then we're going to do what we want to do. I mean, that's a little uncharitable, but how did you feel about it all?
Look, I appreciate them having the conversation, and my goal is to keep our eyes on the prize. And what I mean is, if we're talking about spending upwards of $100 million, let's just use a comparative example. Look at how much time and effort and energy on the city side has been spent on a $15, $16 million demolition of Baptist Hospital. How much conversation we've had about that. We're talking about $100 million potentially being spent, the vast majority or all downtown. I think the prudent thing to do, and as I mentioned to during the BSEC meeting, I think everybody's heart's in the right place. We've done all these studies over 10 years of time, but they're all isolated. The feasibility of a sports center was done years ago. The feasibility of a conference center might have been done more recently. Who knows, where all of that stands, apples to apples.
Yeah.
So that's all we're trying to do is, as the mayor of this city, and that this amazing investment is potentially happening in the city. If this was anything else, we would be doing this. Let's just take a soccer stadium. If we were to build a soccer stadium somewhere other than this as an isolated project, we would be doing all of these studies around what happens with traffic, what happens with stormwater, whatever the case may be.
Parking, right? Parking's a big part of it, right?
Exactly. So I think it's just a prudent step for, to make sure that the city is put in a good position. And, let's see what they say. And just one thing on collaboration, we're attempting to set up a joint meeting, I know, between city council and county commission to speak with the firm doing it from day one. And so I want as much inclusion as possible with decision makers to say, hey, if you're worried about, being skeptical of a plan that's been brought to you, then be part of the plan. And that's what I'm offering, and it's what I offered last week. From day one, ask whatever questions, hear your concerns. I want us all to be part of this, so when we have an end product, we feel like it reflects our concerns, our principles, whatever the case may be. So, I think we're in a good place, and I certainly appreciate their openness to dealing with that, because I think it puts the community in a better place as well.
Yeah, and if you think about this particular problem, I know the county views, for example, the tourism development tax money is, that's money that is theirs to spend. And it's true, but, I have heard some of that money is generated in downtown. So, it's kind of it's a weird thing to sort of be semi chest thumping about who's got the control over the money when obviously downtown is a, you know, or the city in general is a major contributor to the source of the funds.
Absolutely. But I think look at it this way. Let's take away ownership of where they're generated. Look at it this way. What's the goal of investing bed tax? It's to have the return. I mean, just strictly financial. Forget what you want, what arena you want. The best financial decision we can make is to maximize the return on investment of the bond money. That, I mean, that's what we were saying is let's spend $100 million. So then whether it's conferences or sports or hotel nights or whatever the case may be, that we see a huge return on that investment. And so, you know, it's kind of like the Michael Jordan saying, you know, about politics, you know, I don't vote blue or red, I vote green. I would think that which should be the eyes on the prize as it pertains to protecting the taxpayer, because the more of that type of revenue we can generate, the less that's coming from, that needs to come from our local community and that can be coming from the outside. So, you know, I think we can put ourselves in a position to be able to make those decisions. I just don't think we have the documentation in hand yet to make those decisions knowledgeably. I think we've just sort of looking at these things in isolation. And so again, I do appreciate their openness to taking a look at it. And, you know, the other thing I mentioned, Andrew, you may have talked about too, is the ability to have private investment involved.
Right.
If a private investor came in and said, we invest in arenas and conference centers and, you know, show us what you have, what would we show them right now?
Yeah.
I mean, what document would we say, hey, here's our plan, here's where we're in alignment. You know, we'd kind of show them random studies over the last 10 years. And so I think having this document also helps us go leverage the private market, and maybe that means it's less taxpayer money. We don't have to fully publicly fund all of these things. If we're smart about it, we could get some private capital to come in and give us more for less.
And we need to do something like this study in order to make that possible. I will say just one last thing before we move on, but is, you know, I think clearly Stephen Berry, who tried to put in an athletic facility up in the, you know, Ashton-Brosnahan, and that did not work, and rightly so. And Lumen May, I think, is very interested in, you know, travel sports tourism. Obviously, Pensacola Sports is interested in that. And then you have competing interests as well. What I hear you saying is, you know, look, if the study comes back and it says that's really our best alternative, then God, let's do it. I think what they're thinking in their minds is, what if that comes back as B or C? Then we're going to be forced to do something we don't really want to do. I would think it's the other way around. If the city does the study and it turns out to, you know, be the thing that Stephen Berry and Lumen May wanted to do all along, then validation. And if it turns out to be something else, then maybe we should do something else. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right, does. Just seeing some slowdowns on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. About a 7 to 10 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You seem to want to react, and I went quickly to traffic there, but I didn't know if you had a follow-up you wanted to say on what I was just talking about.
Yeah, just one quick thing to point out. It may not even be as simple as that. The end result could be, hey, look, all two of these or three of these work perfectly fine. Oh, and by the way, the private market has a track record in the last 24 months of funding 75% of a conference center or a sports facility. That changes my math, I can tell you that. If one is $40 million and one is $10 million of taxpayer money.
Right.
So there's even more nuance to it in terms of what we learn and, you know, what's marketable, what's feasible to partner with someone else on. So, you know, it's just trying to make our money work. And I think this to the best of its ability. And I think this is the best way to do that and to represent the taxpayer dollars to say, let's make sure we have all the information and that we're making the right decision.
Yeah, very much agreed. Something else that just happened in the last day, the Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Park plan underneath I-110, this massive, huge, multi-million dollar project. The sort of final plan asterisk was shown yesterday in a 3D model rendering. Your thoughts? I have not seen it up close and personal. I haven't studied the detail, but it's got some iconic signature elements like an island that's brought to by three circular or curving pathways. I mean, like, there's some really neat elements here, which reminded me a little bit of that, you know, Swamp Rabbit Trail out of Greenville or many other places that have similar kinds of iconic signature features that turn a stormwater project into an amenity for people.
Exactly. And, you know, I've always talked about it in linear miles. It's 1.3 miles, but they mentioned yesterday, you know, well over 100 acres by the time. So when you think about that, you don't think of that when you're driving over it, you know, how much land that is that's really been left neglected and really underutilized, and so trying to maximize that value. So this was the unveiling, and I think there's some media stuff out and other stuff on our website, and the Hollis T. Williams Project has a website as well. But it's this was the vision, the kind of the final visioning study, which still means they're not picking every bathroom location and every swing set. But this is more of the general overview that you could put things here or here. You could have this football field here or here, that type of thing. So it's starting to kind of narrow the spectrum based on community feedback. And by the way, we're up to, I believe, 23 meetings we've had in the community on this.
Yeah.
And when we've tried to say, I'm proud of our record that we've really tried to redefine what community engagement means, and it's not just one meeting at City Hall one time. You know, is that we go where our neighbors are, where our residents are, and that's again what we did right by Hollis T. Williams at Cobb Center last night. So I'm so grateful to our design team, our city staff, and all, you know, community engagement. The city's only half the battle. You got to have the people show up, and so huge turnout last night, which was awesome. And so really, really excited to see this project continue to move forward, and that we can walk the walk. There's $40+ million in stormwater funding, grant funding, to take on the largest stormwater mitigation project in the history of the city. So very exciting stuff. And I know there's lots of enthusiasm in there. There were people there that lived under the interstate, where the interstate was before it got, their houses were taken away and for the construction. So lots of, you know, cool, interesting stories and really poignant stories shared. And so excited to see this thing move forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're in the middle of several of these sort of, you know, generational transformative projects, whether it's Baptist or whether it's Bayfront Parkway or whether it's, you know, this project under Hollis T. Williams. And I know all these community engagement things are, you know, it's always kind of a show me what you like, show me what you don't like, you know, put the sticker where the engineer hurt you or didn't, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's all good. That's all good stuff to have community engagement. And as you say, what did you say, 23? How many was it?
Yeah, 23.
Wow. So that's a lot of public engagement.
Yeah.
Switching gears just a little bit, speaking of things that are going on, the Garden Street project right now, nobody likes construction, obviously, but this is FDOT TPO, long time coming. It is what it is. And again, they're not putting in a border wall down the middle of it. It's just going to be better in the end, right?
That's right. So, yeah, the west from kind of A Street to Pace, this is just a continuation of you've seen the Garden Street kind of whether it's being repaved or the medians, Garden Street really needed some love. I remember for many, many years. And so it's starting to get that. But I mean, these are projects that have been on the books actually preceding me. That's how long they've kind of taken to get going. But FDOT notified us listen, construction's never going to be easy on folks. We know that. No one wants to be out there any longer than they have to,
right?
Whether you're constructing it or whether it's the business. So anyway, they'll get done with that fairly quickly. The net result is a safer and
usable,
better condition.
Just quickly, I had somebody ask me this question, and I don't know how familiar you are, but the Nixle system in Gulf Breeze is where I can basically sign up for text alerts that tell me traffic is bad or other public safety alerts that they want to send me. Does Pensacola have something like that? Would you consider adding something like that for major traffic and or public safety alerts?
Yeah, so we do have that. We do have a system. We have used it sparingly, typically emergency situations, things like that. But I do believe it has a opt-in function that we haven't really optimized. But because obviously what we don't want to do is force a bunch of text messages to people who don't want them.
Right.
But we have started to, once we made sure it was working, we used it some during the cybersecurity incident for our employees back and forth. So things like that. But we've had conversations about looking into that further. So
okay. Well, Nixle, for Gulf Breeze stuff, it's very useful. And especially for roadways or the Greed Bridges flooded, like incidents like that, I think people would appreciate that. And of course, if they don't like it, they can opt out. We always like to end with the lightning round a little bit. First question, this is going to either be weird or land well, but have you ever used your hand, front or back, to show people where in Florida, based on your hand, Pensacola is?
Yes. Many times I do the I have to, you know, when I'm at U.S. Conference of Mayors meetings, I usually say we're the closest city in Florida to California.
That's a funny way to put it, like,
but,
that.
I have to do the reverse L with two fingers and then, like, point to my thumbnail, you know?
There you go. That's exactly it. When you're typing on your phone, are you one finger, index finger, two thumbs, one thumb, voice to text only? What do you do?
I am two thumbs.
Two thumbs. Okay, yeah, so your thumbs replace your fingers on a keyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever turn the phone sideways and use the expanded keyboard that's available in landscape layout?
No, I don't feel like that's cool. I've got to be moving, and you know that looks too concentrated. You know, I've got to just. You know.
I didn't even know that that was an available option. I have not tried it much yet, but I'm eager to find out. Last one, when you're driving a car, what do you prefer? Stick, automatic, automatic with paddle shifters? What do you prefer?
Can you even find a stick shift car anymore? But I will say, you know, people say I'm a young mayor. My first two cars were stick shift, and now it's a sense of pride that now, no matter where I am in the world, I can safely get us moving around in a car. You go to South America, you don't get an automatic option sometimes. So, I was a stick shift driver all from 16 to 21, basically. So I guess I'm a dying breed.
Same for me, much longer. And the advantage of that is if you actually drive a stick, you know nobody under 30 is going to steal it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always good to talk to you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. About a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also, if you are going, if you're on 98 going eastbound westbound toward Garcon Point Bridge, you've got about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. Other than that, we're looking good. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are in the construction business, you're a contractor, you're a builder, whatever the case may be, Pensacola Hardware, if it's not your place, it should be your place. Or, you know, just try it. You know, go there. Put them to the test. Because I'm always saying they're the experts. They're the commercial construction supply business for this area. The warehouse is right here. They speak your language. You won't have to get a translator. They'll understand the problem. They'll know how to solve it. If you got to order something special, like a specified product, they do that stuff all the time. All the time, they help builders just like you. And if you haven't been there and haven't asked, go. I mean, go ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and say, hey, Andrew McKay's always raving about you. I build things for a living. What can you do for me? And let them tell you. Don't let me tell you. Let them tell you. I mean, they've been doing this for 174 years, right downtown since 1851 at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Need an affordable medical clinic?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a walk-in or same-day appointment?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a $45 zero copay medical plan?
Go to ProHealthFL.com. ProHealth has always been known for being Pensacola's most trusted and affordable clinic and lab, but now ProHealth offers over 30 affordable ultrasounds too. You never need a doctor's order, and ProHealth allows you to pay with HSA or FSA funds for all their services. You can even schedule yourself at ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
The Waves and Wonders Luxury Sales Event is happening Saturday, April 12th at Marine Max Pensacola. Experience luxury like never before. Join in an unforgettable day of complimentary cocktails, a pop-up menu handcrafted by a local chef, plus exclusive pricing on the finest yachts and boats in the market. From seasoned boating enthusiasts to first-time buyers, the Waves and Wonders Luxury Sales Event at Marine Max Pensacola has something for everyone. Saturday, April 12th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 1901 Cypress Street.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah. I can't believe it. He stole my move.
I mean, you have to let it get to that part. You can't stop it before you get to that part. 758 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, leak, drip, weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, those things don't fix themselves, and it sounds like it has. It hasn't. It's about to get worse, most likely. Call Barberry. They'll come in and fix it. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. China says they're taking resolute and effective measures in response to the Trump tariffs. President Trump imposed tariffs of 104% on Chinese imports at a news conference today. A spokesperson for the Chinese ministry accused the U.S. of abusing tariffs to pressure China. Health officials confirming a case of the measles in Colorado. That person apparently hadn't traveled recently. So there's some concerns about possible transmissions. Go.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Well, committee meetings are scheduled for the UWF trustee nominees. We'll get to that story and more after Fox News right here on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, Milton.
China fights back. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox News retaliating to new U.S. tariffs that went into effect after midnight.
This escalation is a loser for them.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent tells Fox Business it's unfortunate China does not want to negotiate.
Because they are the worst offenders in the international trading system. They have the most imbalanced economy in the history of the modern world.
Now Fox's Jonathan Savage on what China announced this morning.
Starting tomorrow, all U.S. goods being imported into China will face an 84% tariff. Not far off the 104% levy the Trump administration has slapped on Chinese goods coming into the U.S. Beijing had promised to fight back against the new tariff regime, describing moves in Washington as bullying and saying China's right to develop cannot be deprived.
Well, the tariffs that went into effect don't just affect China. There are about 90 other countries, and President Trump says many want to make deals.
I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my They are... They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal.
But on Wall Street, continued concern about all these tariffs affecting the economy. Dow futures are down more than 600 points after plunging well over 4,000 the past four trading days as markets also fall again around the world. There's another hearing today for the ex-Columbia grad student the Trump administration's trying to deport for his role in destructive anti-Israel protests in New York City.
Federal immigration judge Jamie Comins wants to see the Department of Homeland Security's evidence against Mahmoud Khalil. He's being held in a Louisiana ICE detention center, accused of being a pro-Hamas protester on Columbia's campus last year. The federal government plans to deport him, even though he's legally in the country. Khalil claims he's been detained for exercising his free speech rights.
Fox's Gernal Scott. It's up to 98 people dead in the Dominican Republic disaster when a roof fell on a crowded nightclub early yesterday. Singer Ruby Perez among those performing. He was among the killed. America's listening to Fox News.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.